Time to play the game.
Yes, it is, Lemmy.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I did not expect that one. I can't even start it now. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week, going by the song, is the belated round three of the NRL, Rugby League, for any new listeners out there.
66 days between round two and round three, and that's just that was the longest 66 days in history.
Yeah, well, it's the first legitimate full contact sport in the world going at the moment. Full contact.
Yeah, full contact.
Sport.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've had soccer. Bundesliga is back. I think the Belarusian league and Belarus, they didn't even stop. They've had a few sort of, you know, little bits and pieces happening sort of in Europe, like all of North America's shut down, all of South America's shut down. There's been nothing else at all. Yeah, but yeah, like you said, yeah, first full contact sport. Oh, we're back. It's oh my God, we're back.
Before we get into round three, just for round four that's coming up tonight, obviously, so we're recording this on Thursday. James Tedesco is out for tonight's game. His temperature is above 37.2 degrees, which
37.3 maybe, or
it's whatever it is. It's too high. You know, it's a no-no now. So he is officially ruled out this week. But we're obviously going to talk about round three. Before we get into it, I've got a decent opinion on it. But what did you think? Watching it on Fox Sports, at least, what did you think of the audio, the crowd audio?
I don't mind it. It gives it a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
It's only through the TV. It's not at the ground itself, so it's not being pumped through the speakers at the ground. Have it on good authority that at the Cowboys game on Friday night, you could hear a pin drop. So... yeah, it was being pumped through it's being put through the TV audio, but it just gives it a sense of it doesn't sound out of the ordinary. Like round two was with no crowds, you know, no background noise or anything of that. It was good to hear everything, you know, stuff that's going on the field, the big hits, the stuff like that. You can still hear that stuff through, you know, the crowd noise, you know, the pumped in crowd noise. So I didn't mind it. It just felt a little bit normal. I think Fox and Channel 9 did pretty well on sort of focusing in more on the game and not having a lot of wide camera shots so you don't see anybody in the crowd.
Except for the cardboard cutouts, but that's...
yeah, it's right. If you got $22 spare, get yourself a Mr. Cardboard cutout.
I quite liked it. Like you said, it was just sort of that background noise that I did miss in the first two rounds that... you still hear the hits, you still hear all that, which we don't usually get to hear with a crowd, but I liked it.
They turn those effects mics up that you can hear that, but it's, yeah, you can definitely sort of hear it a lot more when there's, even with that, you know, with the fake crowd and even in round two with no crowd, you really, really heard it. You really heard those thumps.
I think I prefer the audio, but personally, I think I felt that was a lot better than the no crowd sound and just hearing those thuds. But I liked it. It was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was, yeah, I mean, it just gave us that little bit of sense of normalcy. It still looks a little strange at nobody in the crowd. Obviously rugby league doesn't get the hugest crowds in the world. So, you might be used to seeing a few empty stands here and there, but yeah, you can really tell when there's absolutely nobody there. And obviously they were turning it up and down, you know, the cheers and jeers, yeah. When teams are getting close to the line and when exciting things were happening. So I think they did a pretty good job on it. Hopefully they don't sort of get too creative with it. You know what I mean? Like try and accentuate it more and try and do something too stupid with it. Like the way that they've done it now, that's the standard. That's what they should be doing every week.
So we'll go through the games. We'll just start with the Thursday night game. It was Parramatta over the Broncos, 34-6.
That game was... That game was fast, and yes. it was dead in the first 15 minutes. Parramatta yep. had it all over the Broncos in their first 15 yep. minutes, shut yep. them out, had those three, I think it was three of those six agains on the line, and they shut them out. They gassed them out in the first 15 minutes, and that's probably something we could probably touch on a little bit later with the six again rule.
No, well, touch on it now, because I thought that really helped the Parramatta Eels. Like that.
Oh, it did.
So that's six again rule, basically. So there's one referee at the moment, which we might touch on later, because I personally thought that sort of flowed well. But being that there's one referee, if there's an infringement in the ruck, basically, instead of having a penalty, they're saying six again which yeah. is basically like a penalty
hand
anyway.
On the ball, hand on the ball, holding down, any sort of little BS infringements, just in the ruck or the play of the ball. Yeah, then they reset the tackle count. Look, I want to see how it's going to go for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not the greatest fan of it, because I think it gives teams too much momentum. And like you could see within that first 15 or 20 minutes, Brisbane were gassed. They were gone.
Yeah, they were gone. Yeah, they were gassed.
And when you're gone from that early in the game, it's near physically impossible to claw your way back.
They knew, but they would have known that this was going to happen coming in. So they would have. Don't get me wrong; it's a first round back, so the conditioning would be nowhere near as what it will be in the next few rounds. But I didn't not like it. It felt like very, and I don't know if this is tapping into an American audience. It felt like very NFL like, where you have like. You know, no huddles, and you just keep moving, so no one knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it just makes it super fast paced. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
for me, the elite players are going to be able to keep up, mm-hmm. but for your average Joe Blow, good first grade player, are they going to be able to keep the intensity? You know, obviously, fringe first graders have got no chance of trying to keep up.
But your average
good first grade player, are they going to be able to keep up the intensity, keep up the rage for 80 minutes of that? You know, people in your back line, do you know what I mean? Like they're expected to be playing 80 minutes a game. Like your forwards have got no chance. I just don't. That's the only thing I don't like about it. It's rugby leagues should be for all shapes, all sizes, all body types, all people. Now it's turning it into too athlete driven, and essentially your big bopper, they're going to get wiped out of the game.
I guess looking at it that way, I understand where you're coming from. I'm just not a big fan of the whole let's slow the play down, let's get the 2 points and
I get that. But the other thing that it's going to bring into the game as well, they think, you know, that all they're doing, I get it, they're focusing on the positives. It's going to bring in the little guy, the fast men around the ruck and things like that. But it also is going to make for mistake riddled games at the end of halves and before full time. Because there was, especially in that Broncos game, before full time, half time and full time, it got super sloppy by both teams. Because they simply couldn't keep the pace up.
You don't think do you think it's going to keep going, or you don't think it was just? It's just it feels like it's just there because there's not two referees.
That's why I want to wait. I want to see how people get conditioned to it. Obviously, discipline is going to be key. You know, you simply cannot give away those penalties in the ruck anymore.
No, that's right. I just feel because it's that straight away.
Teams learnt straight after that Thursday night game that discipline was key.
Yeah, I just felt because there's not that second referee actually checking it, like that's the only way they can, I guess, to keep the game going. I mean, don't get me wrong, he could blow a penalty, but
they're taking away the nitpicking, but they'll still be looking for stuff in the ruck. That's the problem. If we circle back to the Broncos Power game, like. Parramatta realistically should have been up more than 12-6 at halftime.
Oh, big time.
They had 57% of that possession. The Broncos bombed two tries in the first half.
Yeah.
Like they could have, if they hadn't bombed those tries, they could have well been ahead. They could have totally changed the game.
I just felt, you're right with the Broncos. I just felt like, I guess Parramatta were ready for that six again, or they just felt, well, they looked better conditioned. Like you said, after the first 15 minutes, Broncos were gas. Yes, they didn't have the possession that much, but I don't know what actually happened to Anthony Seibold. They end up overall only using six substitutes in that whole game, which I don't know if that's where it's going to come into play, like more interchanges as in actually use them or actually get an actual utility instead of having four front rowers on the bench. I think utility is key now.
Your perfect side is to have at least, you know, two back. You have got to have, you know, a back rower who can play many positions. Mm-hmm. You know, another back rower. A utility and one front rower. And then you have that, you know, if you've got the luxury, you know, like teams like, you know, the Broncos have got a massive pack. Parramatta's got a massive pack.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have got a massive pack. And if you can sort of circle players through like that,
yeah,
then you're gonna have a better time with your interchanges. And I just hope to God that if this speed is gonna keep up, that they don't reduce the interchanges next year to six.
Oh, that would be.
That would be suicide, because the other thing that's going to happen this year is little niggling injuries, calf injuries, hamstring injuries, because people are going to be so gassed, players are going to be so gassed, they're going to be trying, that just going to be pushing their body that little bit extra, and you watch, as soon as it's a big-name player, nobody's going to worry about it if it's somebody like Ruben Garrick or, you know, you're just plucking people out of Evers there, somebody like Clint Gutherson or something like that. But as soon as it's a superstar, and they have a calf injury or a hamstring injury and they can't come back, and then they try and come back too early, and then it happens again, they'll be like, I wonder what's happening here. Like, that's what I mean. I don't really want to focus on the negative on it, but that's what I see. I like the speed of the game, but it's just not so much some teams. It's just players aren't going to be able to keep this up.
I do like your theory of, yeah, you're probably going to, if they keep doing it, you are going to lose that. I mean, it's like happens in the NBA. You're going to lose that true front row because they're going to just have to be athletes, like a true center that happens in the NBA. That's going away from that. So I do like that point. You know, you do have to have those front rowers in getting those yards. And if they can't keep up, which they're big boys.
Well, you see Shannon Boyd to come on with the Cowboys game. Like, I think he was on for like 25 minutes. Well, that's what it felt like. Like, you just didn't see him because he's the kind of guy. And granted, there's probably not that many left in you know, professional rugby league. But if these rules filter down into reserve grade, you know, into your juniors, then within 5-10 years, you will completely wipe out the front row from the game.
Yeah, you'll basically have 13 chances.
Your front rows will look like your second center.
Yeah. Oh, I reckon just, not even a center, a lock or a center. They'll all look like centers, just big guys that are athletes.
Unless you get your freaks like Payne Haas and David Fifita and Jason Tamalolo, guys like that. You know, your freaks of nature.
I did like the new pairing of Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses. They complemented each other extremely well. I mean, Mitchell Moses obviously had a stellar game, but Dylan Brown was a good linchpin to him, so to speak. I don't know. Parramatta, to me, they had the ball. They had the possession. They made very few errors. They looked ready. Like, I didn't write them off, but I thought, oh, okay, they might come back and just have that Parramatta evolve, but they do look good. They have a really good side too.
Yeah, no, that's right. And like you said, you know, just sheer weight of possession. It was like 61-39, you can't win with that amount. I'm pretty sure only one Broncos forward had over 100 meters. Like, that's it.
They're getting no
go forward from anybody. That gives, you know, that gives Milford, Turpin, you know, guys like that, just zero chance to work.
Yeah, That's exactly right. I mean, along the line, the stats were pretty fairly even, except for, I guess, like we said, the possession and little by the tackles, obviously. I mean, you have tackled, you know, if you're going to have the possession, the other team's going to have more tackles. But wasn't a very error-riddled game. I thought it was a pretty clean sort of game.
It was clean-ish, but if you go back and have a look, Brisbane only completed 57% of their sets too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of that was just through not so much sheer weight of possession, but because they're just so buggered from defending the line, when they did get a chance, they're too tired to do anything. So little errors start to creep in the game, and I think you're going to see more and more of those types of games with the pace that the game is going to run. Teams need to sort of pace themselves. That they can't just go all out.
So Dylan Brown, he wasn't the only one. What's the go with it? It stood out to me the whole week, or the whole round, I suppose. What is the go with a lot of players having that bleached blonde hair? I don't know if it stood out to you, but there was about six or eight of them. Just I don't know if there was a theme or what the hell was going on, but they were everywhere.
Autumn.
Yeah, Bob and Blake is Mick. There's like three players on Parramatta. There's a couple of Cronulla players. It
was the only thing that they could buy at the shop was bleach or peroxide. So they couldn't buy toilet paper or hand sanitizer or anything like that. So you just buy a little bit of hydrogen peroxide and it's like, oh well, there we go. I think that's just sheer boredom. That's all.
Next game was a Friday night game. Your boys, the Cowboys, demolished your other boys, I suppose, if you want to put it that way, the hapless Titans, 36-6. First thing that stood out to me in that game was Reece Robson. That kid is unbelievable.
He's something.
He is something.
Jake Granville, and I love Jake Granville. He's got what's that? Boy's got to watch his back.
He's a massive
trouble. He played 26, 28 minutes, and that was it. He didn't come back on.
Yeah. Reece, and granted,
that's the thing, like, that Reece Robson is doing the things that Granville was good at, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but doing them a lot faster. Like,
and just,
Granville, even at the start, Granville hasn't lost much pace. Like, he's still quick. Yeah. But he tends now to be that good service dummy half rather than looking up and seeing what's in front of him instead of looking to the side and seeing what's beside him. So I very much took notice of that. And, I think he can be a really good linchpin for the Cowboys with these new rules.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a very dangerous player.
I looked him up. He's only 22. He's a New South Welshman, so I love that already.
Gonna have to get rid of him then.
He's saying he only played nine games.
He's a junior kangaroo. He's a junior kangaroo.
Yeah, he was. He only played eight games for the Dragons. Obviously the Cowboys must have seen something in him. But God, whatever they seen in him, it clearly was something great because he just stood out like. He seemed to be everywhere. He was playing hooker, don't get me wrong, but he seemed to be everywhere, but he was breaking tackles with ease. He's not a big guy at all.
But that first try that he scored was just sheer will and strength to get over the line. It was crazy. You know, he's not the biggest dude. He's not, you know, he's not tall, you know, big in stature, but he's just got that strength.
Obviously, Tamalolo's 290 meters stood out as well.
unfortunately, he got hurt in the game too because he's not there this week. So, obviously something happens to him. But the Cowboys just sort of had that nice consistent. They didn't sort of score in bursts. Like they had that nice consistent scoring run throughout the whole game. Yeah. It didn't look like they tried to with Drinkwater and Clifford at halves. Clifford's got a big boot on him. Like he's got a really big kicking game on him. So I kind of like that. He needs to show me a little bit more than the flashes of goodness that he can. And you think he needs to be a bit more consistent. They tried to bamboozle the Titans with a lot of flash. They went, they either went up the middle or they tried to go around them and they found success. Like, how many of those tries were scored out on the flanks?
Yeah, not many at all. There was, I think the only one that I was Justin O'Neill's try.
Hampton scored two out on the wing, and then right at the end, Feld scored on the other side. But that's the thing. They either went through the middle or they tried to go around them. And Drinkwater, I think that there was an obvious tactic to try and go over the top. Like, he was there. I don't know how many Harbour Bridge passes he had from right to left going out that side. It was crazy.
Where does my concern with Drinkwater is that when Morgan comes back, that he gets lost in the shuffle, because he showed himself in the nines, but it's just concerned where he's not going to take Valentine Holmes' position. I mean, that's pretty evident.
Clifford will go when Morgan comes back, and Drinkwater will play.
That'll happen? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, Clifford's not so much a work in progress. He got a fair few games last year, but what they need Drinkwater to be, and that's the sort of conundrum, I guess. Like, you need somebody with Morgan that can be that game controller, that game manager, and let Michael Morgan be a runner. Like, that is he's a la Ben Hunt. Like, Ben Hunt plays his best when he's a runner of the football, and not so much a primary kicker of the football, you know, that first receiver. He's better at second receiver, and to use that running game, he's a solid half. So Drinkwater sort of needs to come in and control the game a little bit more, kick to the corners, and be that control kicking game, and let Michael Morgan work in the run game. If they can figure that out, then the sky's the limit, especially with Val Holmes at the back.
There was, I felt the first two games were a bit shaky, but I mean, he still had that NFL body. But that game he played well, I wouldn't say brilliant, but he played a lot better.
He's trying to involve himself in the game more, which is good. But it'll just come naturally throughout the season. And, you know, it's an 18 round season, you know, it's going to be 20 rounds total, so there's 18 more rounds to go. No breaks, you know, no breaks for Origin, nothing like that. It's just 18 straight through. So you want the team that you support, you don't want them peaking too early like now. You want them to work throughout the season, get their combinations right, and to be playing well. Like most, you know, like most seasons, you want to be playing well in the final third of the season and to be within striking distance, either in the eight, or close to the eight, so you've got a chance to get into the finals, and then who knows what can happen from there.
I do want to talk. Look, there wasn't a lot of positives for the Titans, but I do want to talk about Ashley Taylor. He again, to me, seemed he didn't have any game management. Like, he wanted to work on game management, and it just seemed he was running through the motions. That's probably the best way to put it. He is lost. He's on a very, 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 very good contract. So he should be leading that team. And he really isn't. And Justin Holbrook did say he moved him to 5'8" because, just to, I guess, alleviate a lot of the pressure from a halfback. But again, he just seemed lost.
He seems lost. I think he needs to be the game controller. He needs to play first receiver, and they really need AJ Brimson to come back. They need Tyrone Roberts to come back to steady. Not so much to steady. Brimson will be the brilliance and the X factor, and Tyrone Roberts will be that steady, cool head, and they will be a little bit better. But yeah, the Holbrook wielded the axe this week, for team selections. So we'll see what happens there, because unfortunately for guys, you know, like Jared Wallace, who got dropped, there's no, you know, Burley Bears or, you know, Tweed Seagulls to go back and work on the craft get better. You've just got to go back to training, work hard, and see where it goes from there. That's the only thing. That the teams that are in the cellar at the moment will, if they don't get any better, will just sink into the abyss of the season, and you just it could be really scary for teams like St. George, the Bulldogs, the Titans.
Well, just it's just my concern with Ashley Taylor, I guess, is that, you know, he is on a, like, you know, he's on a $3.2 million contract that, for 3 years. So this is his
who's
last
more,
year.
Who's more overpaid, Ash Taylor or Ben Hunt?
I know, because Ben Hunt has shown glimpse of brilliance. Ashley Taylor, to me, isn't.
But he's not getting much help. Like, he could see just on his face. There was one pass there. They were on the attack. Nathan Peets was a dummy half. He threw an absolute just dirty ball to him.
Yeah.
Like, right at his feet. He dropped it. He laughs. And then he gets upset with Peets. It's just like, oh, okay. You know, when he makes the mistakes, he laughs. When other people give him, you know, crap service out of dummy half, or other people make the mistake, he's angry.
Yeah, that's right.
What I mean? Like, you see it on his face, and the cameras were on him a lot.
Because that's what I mean.
He's not being helped, but he just they've got to stick with him. They've got no other option. Like, they have to stick with him.
Because he can't, like, you just brought it up before. I personally would, I guess, light the fire. I mean, I would have personally loved to drop him back to reserves, like, but obviously he can't do that because there's no reserves. But I'll just to get a fire under him or something, because he's not.
But they tried that last year.
He's just not justified.
He played a couple of games in reserve grade, and it just I don't know. You've either got to light the fire, or you've got to give him some confidence. People have got to try and, you know, boost his confidence somehow.
I think you're exactly right. I think he needs help. I don't know who's going to go to Gold Coast, but I think he needs help from someone. That's exactly what he needs, and he's not getting it. So,
Hopefully Holbrook's got the answers. Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if there's going to be anything to come out of his sort of tenure there at the Gold Coast, Justin Holbrook, I'm talking about, is hopefully he can try and get the best out of Ash Taylor, and yeah, it's not as if he's got shocking players around him, but there's a lot of fringe first. He's got a lot of former Origin players too around him. You know, Jai Arrow is a current Origin player. It'll be interesting to wait and see as the season goes on how disinterested he gets, because he's going to South next year, and to see how disinterested he gets with losing every week.
Correct.
It's been a long time since their last win.
Well, speaking of the team he's going to, South played the next Friday game up against the Roosters. They went down 28-12. Speaking of cameras being on someone, I felt like the camera was on Latrell Mitchell too much. But, I mean, for obvious reasons. But, you know, speaking of another guy that, I mean, look, I think he can get back. I just don't think fullback's his position. That's the biggest thing that was evident to me. Fullback is not his position. Especially if it's quick game.
Yeah, they're forcing it on him.
They are. Well, he did say he wanted to play fullback, but if this game...
That's all well and good. I'm sure, Josh Maguire wants to play 5'8". Doesn't mean that he can.
Well, you'd think Wayne Bennett
would
have
some another thought. One. If you think back, Dave Taylor thought he was a 5'8 back in the day as well.
He actually probably did.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't mean
they're going to be able to fit the number 6 jersey on him.
He's not playing that fullback role. And if this game's going to be quick as it is, like, he's going to be in massive trouble. Because a lot of those tries for the Roosters, he wasn't in position.
No, he was out of position.
He was getting out of the line all the time. And that's like what he did in the center. Not in the fullback.
You've got to hope that if Wayne Bennett sticks with him, that he does pick that up. He's a bit more vocal at the back. But it's being in position and be able to follow the ball, because that's what the best of the best does.
So you're true, like your Tedesco, who played brilliant again, and your Billy Slater. Like, true fullbacks that follow the play, that are just conditioned to be a fullback, like a true fullback. So
they play fullback most of their especially their first grade career. So, you know, he's been chopped back and forth. Like even at the Roosters, he played a little bit of 5-8. Like it's not so much he's trying to be a jack of all trades, but I don't understand why it's, you know, why just go out there and be the best center that you can.
It ended up being a pretty even game. Like it was, you know, the possession was fairly even, the errors were fairly even. It was just someone like Tedesco that, you know, got over 300 meters in that game, which is absolutely ridiculous. That I guess opened the game for the Roosters.
Well, the 12-6 at halftime probably reflected the first half. Like it wasn't it was a bit of a seesaw sort of first half. It was just. The Roosters just blew them out of the water in the first 15 minutes of the second half.
Second half, yeah, correct. Well, yeah, they come out.
It was the second set.
Yeah.
You know, Tedesco just scorches everybody up the middle, and it's like, that's your fullback sniffing around the ruck, those sorts of things. But you know, had Souths recovered enough over half time? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you shouldn't just be getting busted wide open. With 38 minutes to go in the second half, that shouldn't happen.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I did. I quite liked. It's only his third game, but that Kyle Flanagan seems to be slow. I mean, you can't really replace Cooper Cronk. Don't get me wrong, but he's slowly starting. That's not going to happen. But he's slowly starting to come into his own. He had a fairly decent game. Yeah, he scored one try, but he had a fairly decent game.
He's got to be the game manager, and Luke Keary's got to be the one, you know, to show those flashes of brilliance, and to be that sort of chief playmaker, you know, when they're in attacking situations. How good was that Morris chase down?
Oh, that's an evergreen guy. He's absolutely ridiculous.
He chased down two of them.
There's no chance someone does that normally, and this guy's, you know, at the tether of his end of his career, and he's still chasing down two people and tackling and still stopping a try.
That was unbelievable.
It was ridiculous. Just with the Rabbitohs, there was a couple of bright lights. I still think it feels like Bennett's still tinkering with the side. Like that
Troy Dargan
didn't really stand out in 5-8. I just think, he's probably still tinkering a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think it's just, once again, with this, you pretty much got to start from scratch. You know, all well and good to say that the first two rounds stand, but, you know, two-plus months off for everybody. You know, getting in full contact probably only over the last couple of weeks. He's got to figure out who he wants to play where. I know he wants to stick with Latrell at fullback, you know, obviously Reynolds at halfback, Cody Walker once he comes back, that's who his halves will be. These new rules will greatly accentuate Damien Cook's game.
Yeah,
if he can get the fast play of the balls and the good go forward from, you know, from his forward pack, because he's one of the quickest dummy halves getting around, and he's one of those guys that looks up and not looks sideways a lot. So he's got his eyes up front, and there's going to be plenty of times where teams aren't going to be, you know, teams are going to be on the back foot. And he's going to be through the line already.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because he's just built like that. He's built for speed. So
didn't happen. Like the Roosters have got pretty good defensively anyway. With Walker out, with no James Roberts, I think they were going to be a little bit sort of inept attacking wise. You know, not a lot of strike. You know, Gagai's there. Gagai's still there. Latrell will still be able to bob up and down. Your traditional fullback. And that's the thing too, you know, that's what he's got to get used to as well, is playing on both sides of the field, you know, instead of just stuck on one side. He's got to know where to bob up in attack.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be a work in progress. And who knows, like they might have it figured out by the end of the year and they could make a good run.
I just think they would, to me, they would rue. Well, I was a big Alex Dewey fan. I still was shocked that they got rid of Adam Dewey.
He's a good place at sea.
They had so many centers and fullbacks. It was ridiculous. They had to go.
They couldn't fit him in.
I think they'll rue, you know, because he's only a young guy. And I think there's something with Gagai. I think he's getting towards, like, I don't know if he's losing interest or what. He just didn't see himself in that game.
He's playing on the wing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's why he's losing interest.
Well, you've got James, you know, like,
he's the one that wanted to go there. He wanted out of Newcastle.
Yeah. It's his own. Don't get me wrong.
That's the thing. He wanted out of there, and it's like, righto. Yeah, Nathan Brown had no problems with letting him go. It's like, righto, mate. Like, he was their best player. Like, I don't know how much – I get it, they did a lot of losing, but Newcastle could be a bit of a smoky.
Yeah, I truly believe Newcastle defensively, becomes a big smoky.
Man, like, you know, we'll get into them a little, you know, sooner rather than later. But that, man, that defensively, they were pretty good.
Yeah. The Warriors end up beating the Dragons 18-0.
They were 5 minutes from perfection. 5 minutes. They were 40. I think they were 45 from 45. And then they bombed it. Five minutes to go.
That was obviously the biggest thing. That was completion rate 46 out of 48. That is absolutely ridiculous. 96%. They still get the highest.
St. George were 34 from 41. It's not as if they were bad either. They were just completely inept.
Speaking of teams that are in disarray, that they, like you just brought up before, Ben Hunt. I don't know if it's him. I don't think Corey Norman's bringing his A game, so to speak. It's just, except for their forward pack.
He's been named a fullback this week. Once again, it's one of those teams that they haven't got a shocking forward pack, but. The spiritual leader there is James Graham, and you can see the frustration written all over his face. they dropped Dufty. I don't know unless he might have done the same. Yeah, I don't know what he's done. I think guys like Pereira or somebody like that, Jordan Pereira or somebody like that. You've got to find somebody somewhere for Matt Dufty. You just have to. He's a 100% a first grader.
And Zach Lomax didn't have a great game. Like, you know,
they've got a plethora. That's the unfortunate part too. They've got a plethora of decent backs, but they've just got no continuity. I don't get it. Like, there was a lot of meters made in that.
Crazy. But saying that,
teams made over 2,000 meters.
Yeah. You know, and that Michele Ravalawa made over 262 meters.
Ravalawa was great, 260 meters. But Pereira had 210 meters. Dufty had 200. Now, Tohu Harris had 200 plus. Omalo had 270. Tuivasa-Sheck had 284.
It was
crazy the amount of meters that were being made, especially by both teams. But you could just tell that a lot of times Hunt's getting caught on the fifth tackle. They're in so much disarray offensively. You're just like, oh my god.
So in saying that, because obviously there's little whispers going around, is from what you're sort of saying is that they're like in disarray and they're sort of, you know, they're a bit lost. Is that because they've lost the coach or the coach has lost them in Paul McGregor? Because there is whispers going around that he's lost the dressing room and he's got two games to save his coaching career.
That's the rumors floating around that he's got two games to impress.
Yeah.
The only problem is who's out there to replace him? Who's a better coach that's out there to replace him?
The only coach that can replace him can't coach at the moment, and that's their assistant coach, Shane Flanagan.
He's there at the moment. But you know, you've got the likes of John. Yeah, the first person I think of is John. I think John Cartwright is a 100%. He's a first grade coach.
Yeah.
And he's at Manly at the moment. So you sort of think, you know, maybe somebody like Trent Barrett or I don't know. Like, I don't know who's out there that's going to be better. It's going to be able to do anything with this squad.
Well, Shane Flanagan, he's banned, but he was banned by...
Yeah, but what's he going to do with this squad, though? That's the problem. Oh, that's like, true. he's going to have to build it from the ground up again.
But that's the thing. They have a great forward pack. You know, Ben Hunt is on a decent contract, very big contract, but he's not a terrible player. I don't. Where do you build? Where do you build from? That forward pack is absolutely ridiculous. So where do you build from? Probably death. Yeah, I think so. Because you got the two Sims boys, Paul Vaughan's an Origin player, Tyson Rizell's an Origin player, although he'll be gone next year. James Graham is. You know, an international superstar. Cameron McGuinness is a great player.
He's played 40 odd tests for England. Cam McGuinness is a great dummy half.
So I don't. Yeah,
he should get a look in for New South. If they didn't have Damien Cook for New South Wales, he should 100% get a look in.
100%.
For dummy. If Cook goes down, like he's your second option, right?
100%. Yeah. No. He made
74 tackles in that game. Like, well, yeah, what is it with? Yeah, there was two people this week that had 70 plus tackles.
Yeah, that was
Chris Randall made his debut for the Knights, made 71 tackles.
I guess with Frizzell going to Newcastle, maybe there is something happening in the background because he literally said he wants to win a title. You know, he's 29, he wants to win a title. So I don't know.
Who doesn't?
I get that, but
he's an elite player. Like, nobody wants to play in a losing season. Everybody wants to win a championship. Yeah, everybody wants to win a premiership.
Yeah, but he's got a side that he could win it with. That's what I'm getting at. And clearly he doesn't see that. That's really, I don't know if that's coach or the team or what they have to fix to get it better. But they have to do something. They have to win. I mean, it's simple. They have to win. They haven't won a game for a very long
time. Not so much now. They've just got to... They've got a lot of improvement to do. Not so much get wins, but they've got to show a little bit more effort. They've got a lot of improving to do.
The Tigers end up beating the Sharks 28-16. It was I thought it was a very fast paced game. It just
that was another back and forth game.
Yeah.
Tigers had all the run.
Yeah,
Cronulla scored 16 unanswered points, and then they don't score again. It was a very momentous sort of game, you know, a lot of back and forth with that. Tigers looked impressive.
Yeah. The Tigers looked
That little period before halftime, they didn't look great, but they come out in the second half and they look pretty good.
Benji's just Mr. Evergreen. Like that he looked like he was 25 or 20 again. That's what I mean for someone like Ash Taylor. You look at Benji Marshall, who seems to be everywhere. He wants the ball.
That's right. Effort.
And he was brilliant. Again.
It's effort. Show that you got love for the game and not love for the paycheck.
That's exactly right. That's probably the best way to put it. Exactly right. That Nofaluma, David Nofaluma, is just a massive beast that no one can stop. He scored that try. Like, he had no – there's no – I mean, you know, it was terrible tackling on the part of Josh Dugan. He just grabbed – literally just tapped him. But, you know, he just – because him running as a winger is ridiculously scary. As a winger.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's like real nonplussed about it too. Like when he scores, he's just like, it's all good. Like he doesn't have any excitement. I love it.
whatever. Like the big thing for me, with Cronulla, defensively they got sort of exposed a little bit. You know, the few line breaks that the Tigers did make, they capitalized on in that second half. And, you know, Cronulla missed 54 tackles. Like, that's too many. When you're missing that many, you're breaking the line as often as what the Tigers did. And they made them pay. Like, they couldn't repel them. You know, they couldn't hold them out. And that's, you know, and that, whether that, you know, there's a rather large steroidal cloud hanging over their club at the moment.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Well, it wasn't really steroids that last time. Like this. Yeah. This is. I'm hearing the word anabolic steroids, which I haven't heard for a long time.
I think the last time I heard that was Ben Johnson.
That's right.
Proper anabolic. Yeah.
Anabolic steroids. look what happened to him. He ain't got no gold medal.
No, that's true. I thought, even in the losing side, I thought Sean Johnson wasn't too bad in that game. He seemed to be a little bit more involved than usual.
Yeah.
Which Moylan, is good. Like, I think he needs
Moylan needs to sort of get back into condition a little bit. Oh, like, he's been out too long. He's too good a player to keep playing like this. Like, some of the mistakes he was making were just shocking. He's another one of those sort of guys that you just need to get that little bit of confidence back.
Yeah.
The more that he plays, the better that he will get. And I think, you know, him and Johnson will make a decent sort of halves. But that's, I mean, Moylan, you can play him either way. You're playing 5'8", you're playing fullback.
I think he's better at fullback. I think he's better at fullback personally.
He probably is, but you know, he can still be that stopgap at 5'8" if they need to be, and then they can put Mr. Glass. No, Josh Dugan at fullback, and he can do an admirable job when he's back there when he's healthy. And okay, everyone will say, oh well, last year, you know, he played 20 plus games last year. That's the best. Yeah. That's one of the best seasons he's had.
Yeah.
Usually he'll play 12, 13 because he's got, you know, rib injury, or he's got a leg injury or something. It's just an array. I don't know what they put in those tattoo needles of his, like, I don't know, getting right into the muscle. I don't know what's going on there. It's very bizarre. Like he wants to be paid like an elite player, but you can't pay him that because he's not healthy all the time.
He's not healthy all the time. No, it's exactly right. You can't
pay him that money. He's proven it. He's had, in the last probably 6 or 7 years, he's had one good year where he's been on the field a lot. And that was last year.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You simply can't pay him $800,000-$900,000 a year because he hasn't proven to you that he can be there for 24, 26 games of the year.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's past that too, personally. Yeah, a little bit. I think he's past that. I don't know. I don't think he can justify. I mean, maybe overseas he could probably get that money. I don't think he can justify that anymore in the NRL, personally.
You think he'd be able to go over the Super League and carve it up?
You would think so. I think he would relish probably being over there, out of the way. Next game was the Raiders over the Storm, 22-6. It was
ambush.
It was an ambush. It was the English ambush, if you want to put it that way.
Because that's correct.
George Williams and Josh Hodgson just tore Melbourne apart.
Melbourne sort of looked uncharacteristically sluggish.
Yeah.
They looked a little slow. Agree.
Yeah. But they didn't seem to have that go for it, personally.
No, not really. And then, they obviously didn't have, what's the big unit's name, Kamikamita there. So, you know, he obviously provides a lot of go forward with the size of the chin that he has. A little bit like Tony Carroll. guys with large chins that could go forward.
The problem with Melbourne, like with this new rule, they're a side that really likes to control the game and slow the play down to what they want to play. They're not going to be able to do that.
They have a lot of savvy. They don't. Like you said, it's control of the game. It's not. You know, a lot of it now is going to be momentum.
Yes. And they don't play like that.
Of that momentum.
They don't play off the cuff. They like to play organizational. And Cameron Smith, and they're going to have to adapt because they like to burrow those games down. Even the wrestling tackles, which they can't do anymore, because that's the six agains happening against them. They're going to have to adapt because this kind of game isn't suited for them. Not anymore.
No, like you said, not anymore. And not to say that Smith has... Smith's never been the fastest dummy half. He's been the smartest dummy half. But that's, I mean, he's going to have to use that savvy in a different way now. And the same thing, he's going to have to have eyes up now.
See, if the game's going to go like this, which I'll see someone like Cameron Smith go, this is a Brandon Smith game. Totally the interchange hooker. This is totally a Brandon Smith game now. He's 100% suited for this kind of game. So
what's that boy got to do to get a start?
Well, I don't want to see Cameron Smith go, but then on the flip side, Brandon Smith...
Yeah, but he could leave. It's, I mean, Brandon Smith's going to be like, well, when am I going to get my shot? If Cameron Smith plays another 2 or 3 years... Like, he's just going to be sitting there, like, when am I going to have a dig at this?
I just feel like Cameron Smith needs, it's either going to be this year or next, like, he needs to finish. Because you're right, Brandon Smith has only got a couple of years left on his contract. You know, not that contracts mean anything he's got to try
and unseat the likes of Dale Finucane, who plays lock, which that probably might be his better position. Brandon Smith is playing lock. And then you got Felice Kaufusi and Kenny Bromwich. Like, who do you unseat there? You can't.
But that's what I'm saying. You're right. It could be that, but I just think he's a hooker. Like, Finucane's great at lock, but
Finucane was one of their better players.
He ended up getting that try too, so he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
But in the Raiders, on the flip side, George William is. There was always raps on him. Apparently the Super League, the English coach said there's, I don't know why they're all hyping him up. He's always been like that, but I think just a stab at like people not watching Super League. But, his go forward, you have him, you have Jack White and just Josh Hodge. And of everybody we've named, Damien Cook, everybody, this game, if it's going to be like this, this is Josh Hodgson. Josh Hodgson can win a Dally M with this kind of game because
I wonder what he's playing for a Dally M this year.
I would like to know because I think, I mean, George got the 3 points, but the Hodgson got two. So I just, this is his purely suited for him, this kind of game.
Yeah.
Because he loves the one-on-one strips and everything. Like, he's got a tank. He doesn't stop. But,
that's right.
Raiders, I honestly thought, because someone brought it up to me, I honestly thought with the Raiders they were going to be, they've got the wood on Melbourne at Melbourne, but they're not going to play a lot of games at Canberra.
That's going to take its toll. I'll pencil that in as well, travelling every week.
Well, that's what I thought. I think if they can get a few good games at the start, and if they're going to lose some, they're going to lose some, but if they can sneak, the top four, or fifth or sixth, they're going to be hard to beat in the finals. That's what's scary.
And that's the thing. They'll be battle tested on the road then too. If they finish in that bottom end of the eight, then if they're playing well, then they'll hold no fear in coming to Sydney to play. It sucks that they can't have, any home games at this point in time in the ACT, but. And it's what's a 3.5-4 hour drive to Sydney.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's you'd hope it wouldn't, but I think that may take its toll at the end of the season.
Oh, I think it will. That's what I was telling you about. I was concerned that's what's going to happen, and they were going to lose. Everyone's tipping them to be up there in the finals, but I don't think people realize that they are going to play away every single game. So. We'll just have to wait and see.
The Luke Bateman thing as well. Like, he was a big part of their game Johnny plan Bateman? And everything last year.
Johnny Bateman.
John Bateman. He's gone down as well. He's got to have another surgery. So he's shot for another field. I think it was shoulder surgery. So he's got to have another one. So he was a big part of what they did last year as well, and he'll be a big part of their success this year. If they don't have him there, then that's just another part of the Pommy Raiders they'll miss.
I don't think they will have him. Like, there's a lot of contract talk about him. Like, full credit to him. He said he's always come out and said, I just want to do the best for my family. But There's about 1,000 people chasing him, and he just wants to be the most money he can get. So,
Life, Gold Coast are sniffing around.
Yeah, Gold Coast, Bulldogs, and they got a huge offer from Wigan as well. So, because he's always been a Wigan boy, he said he's got a massive offer from Wigan. So, but, you know, this is from James Hooper, and he literally said to James Hooper, you know, basically, you know, blew smoke up him saying, you know, don't believe everything James Hooper writes. So that's
He gave it to him. He wasn't terribly impressed with the reporting that was going on there. So yeah, that was an interesting sort of little back and forth.
Well, look, if he's got a 10-year-old daughter, and if his daughter can't come over for the coronavirus, maybe he will go to Wigan because it's a $3.2 million offer for 3 years. So it's not much that he was expecting, but he was expecting more, obviously. Not 3.2. It'd be 2.3 million. So not much more than he's on now, 700,000. But yeah, I think it's more that he wants to be with his daughter. So
yeah.
Last couple of games before we wrap it up. The Panthers and the Knights finished on a 14-all draw.
that game was insanity.
Yeah,
that game was insane.
It was. I
listened to it on the radio, and I had to watch the replay of it just to get a grasp of the pure bedlam that was happening.
Yeah. I thought the Panthers are great guns at halftime, 14-6, and I thought that, you know, they'll run away with it.
They should have steamrolled Newcastle. They should have steamrolled them. I get it. No, Nathan Cleary, you know, a couple of makeshift halves there at Penrith, but the effort that Newcastle showed defensively after losing Pearce in the 5th minute to a concussion, losing Watson in the 9th minute to a high ankle sprain, and he's been diagnosed with syndesmosis, so he's going to be a shot duck for the next couple of weeks. No Kalen Ponga, the young kid Tex Hoy, you know, essentially running the show with Kurt Mann.
Who has the best name, by the way. I swear to God, every time I heard them say that, it felt like it was like a source or something. He had the best name, Tex Hoy. I love it.
They say his full name. That's the funny thing. They say his full
awesome to say, Tex Hoy. It's awesome. It sounds like a source. It's on the side of something, like a scissor or something. Man, like.
Yeah. You put it on your steak.
Hey, yeah, Tex Hoy. Yeah, though, I don't want to say Hoy.
What sort of sauce would you like with that steak? Yeah, mushroom or some Tex Hoy. Oh, I'll have a bit of Tex Hoy, thanks.
Oh, I loved it. I loved hearing that. You're right. I mean, it was a chaotic sort of last half. They were full credit to come back into it, but, you know, losing Pearce, losing Connor Watson, no Ponga, but he'll be back this week. They dug deep to sort of, I guess, come back and draw. Well,
Penrith had near 60% of possession.
And even in
Golden Point, Newcastle essentially should have won. Bradman Best shouldn't have thrown that pass to Edric Lee. He should have just kept running.
Yeah, he could have had his hat trick. I thought he had his hat trick, but It was a fairly even game, like you said, except for the possession. It was a fairly even game. Clemmer was for me another big standout, like 252 meters, and that guy's just a monster. Like that to me is a best.
Even Saifidi had 230 odd.
That to me, you know, you got him, you've got Saifidi, then you got Tyson Frizzell coming, Aiden Guerra. Like they're gonna have a. Like, and Tim Glasby, he's another.
Tim Glasby was great too. He had a bumper game.
If they're not going to be there this year, next year they're going to be, you know, having someone like Tyson Frizzell on that side is going to be really, really good.
No, that's right. Well, and that's like I mentioned before, the young kid Chris Randall, who was on first grade debut, made 71 tackles. Happy Coruscant, 69 tackles. Like that's the kind of game that Coruscant needs to take over. I do, and he's the guy that needed to take that game over and control that game and get Penrith the 2 points and not split the points. Like that's the game that he's got. I really like Happy Coruscant.
But he
wasn't going to get the big money from Manly. And I still think it's a huge mistake to let him go. And for him to end up at Penrith, yeah, with the young Cleary there. Yeah, once he returned. Yeah, Mansour's back. You know, Mansour had
three. Yeah, he had a great game. Yeah. So once TikTok Cleary's back, then, you know, they should be pretty good. I've just been calling him TikTok Cleary for ages now. I would have done the same thing. Who cares?
Him. If they're knocking on the door to me, like, hey, come on in. You're waiting for your Uber? Like, you know, hopefully it takes, like, you know, 45, 50 minutes, whatever.
Last game was Manly getting over another hapless side, the Bulldogs, 32-6. Manly, you know, the Dravojevic boys, they're just it felt like a, and I think I did actually hear this on NRL 360, but it just, I don't know if Desi Hasler is doing this or it's just the way it is, but they feel like a very Brett Stewart, Glenn Stewart.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was. For sure. It just felt like that. Like when they were playing, and they were playing off. They just were playing off each other so well. It was. Yeah,
they're going to be. They're going to be a scary side. And can you imagine if they still had Coruscant?
Well, and that's why I think Coruscant. he wouldn't have got the money because they had to pay the two Dravojevic guys, and Daly Sherry Evans had a decent contract. So
yeah, they've got three guys who are on gigantic contracts.
Yeah. But, you know, and they're three guys that, you know, you're two boy bitch boys, yeah. You know, and even Daly Cherry Evans, you know, he's the Australian captain. You know, he can play when he needs to play. So, you know, of course you're going to put them on big contracts. But that, you know, even with them, you know, they, like Tooley, who had a great game, knocked back the Hughes Dragons contract to stay with Manly because he liked the way that, you know, he got let go by the Bulldogs because of disciplinary issues, and Manly signed him on the team. And he said he liked the culture, he didn't like the culture at Dragons. So they're obviously doing, you know, Desi Hasler's obviously doing something. Oh yeah, he's a massive centre. He's a centre that can move, and he's 109 kilos. It's absolutely, and he's only 22, which is again crazy. You're right. They're my Smoky. I mean, I don't know if you call them a Smoky. I don't think they're favourites, but they're also
not favourites. But I think a lot of people would be sort of not so much turning their. I think that they'd be looking over their shoulder at Manly. I think they know their potential. Yeah. And if that potential, you know, comes to fruition, then they are going to be a real threat.
Well,
for a premier to go all the way this year.
They're the type of side that, you know, not having the origin in the middle is going to help them big time, because you've got your one, your seven, and then you've got your decent players that are going to be there.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So
the players that it's the majority of players it's going to harm, like I said, it's just your regular everyday Joe first graders, because they're just going to have to blast all the way through the season. They don't get no week off, couple of weeks off, the season to sort of freshen up. You know, that's what's going to hurt.
What about the Bulldogs? Like, look, maybe they were missing Kieran Foran, and that sort of hurt them a little bit.
They should be better. They're a rudderless ship offensively as well. Like, they're just, there's not a lot of direction. You know, I like the kid Lachlan Lewis, but Jeremy Marshall King's kind of ordinary out of dummy half. They just don't have the strike. Josh Jackson just tries his heart out every week, and that's usually best on ground for them. And
every week, and that's their biggest problem. Like, they always, you know, every time you think of Bulldogs, you always think of a scary forward pack, and they've got Dylan Napa and Aiden Tolman, but it's just Josh Jackson that seems to be doing, you know, I guess most of the work. It's kind of disheartening. He is trying massively, and no one else seems to, I guess, yeah, go forward, really, unfortunately.
If they can get four and healthy, then they might look a little bit better offensively. But you think you should be able to get a decent little bit of momentum and go forward with the likes of Napa and Tolman and Josh Jackson and those sorts of guys with you go forward. I don't know what a Jeremy Marshall King is. I don't know if he's a dummy half. Is he a half? I don't know. He's a stopgap. So I don't know what's going on there. You know, they obviously didn't have – they kept Michael Leisher around for years and years and years. And they didn't know what he – they didn't want – don't know what to do with him. So they're still in purgatory with the same thing with dummy half. If you didn't have a good dummy half, you're still going to struggle going forward.
He, you know, that's exactly right with Michael Leisher. That he was the one that came from Sharks that everybody was tipping that he was going to be an Origin dummy half. Everyone was raving about him, but I don't know what happened when he went there.
He was a good under-20s player, but he just couldn't. I know he just couldn't grasp first grade.
He did start well with Sharks before Bulldog signed him, but yeah, he it's up and they've let him go now too. So I think you're right. I think offensively they're just missing. They're probably missing Kieran Foran. I mean, it's not like they haven't got weapons. They got Will Hopper-Whitey and Dallin Walesniak. So they do.
Yeah, that's. I don't know. Is he a fullback? He did his best work at the wing, on the wing with Penrith.
I think Will Hopper-Whitey is a great fullback. I think he can play really well at fullback personally.
Yeah.
So I think it's that halves, like you said, like Long Lewis, young and everything, but you need that, and Jack Cogger's extremely young, so you can't really, it's not any of his fault, but.
Well, there was a reason why the Knights let him go a couple of years ago to go to the Bulldogs. Like, the Knights didn't see much in Jack Cogger to sort of keep him around. Yeah. Even the Knights still had, they had Hodkins and they had, this is before Connor Watson got there, but they had Trent Hodkinson. They had, Pierce was there. Mason Lino come there last year. But yeah, that Jack Cogger was sort of, did a lot of losing with that Newcastle side a few years ago with a couple of wooden spoons on the trot. And they just didn't see much in him. So I think that was a little unfortunate for him. But you can kind of see why. You've still got to have that steady head in the halves.
Yeah, you do.
Hopefully, Kieran Foran is going to take a long time to get back, get back any sort of form. Like, he's been playing sporadically for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So I think it's just more the looking at how his style of play is going to fit into what the Bulldogs do. I don't know, but. They need something, and apparently Dean Pay's in the hot seat as well, so which kind of sucks for him. It's in the mold of Nathan Brown. You're going to go through all the garbage, and then once Newcastle actually looks all right, and then they give Nathan Brown the boot. Like, I thought that was a bit rich, but it looked like it could happen to Dean Pay as well.
It's like these guys are inheriting sides. I mean, the only coach that's inherited a side and actually flourished is Des Hasler. He inherited that side and he didn't have to really buy a lot of – he couldn't buy anybody, so he flourished. He got the best out of the players. So, well, that'll do it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. There's 1,000 socials. There's 1,000 pods everywhere. There's no point going through it. You just got to look for the Final Play Podcast. I showed a mate the last weekend and he goes, oh, okay, yeah. And he typed it in and it was there straight away. So you've literally just got to type in Final Play Podcast and Spotify, Podbean, everything.
We are everywhere. Have we forgotten something that's a bit of a stalwart with the Final Play Podcast of Rugby League? Are we forgetting something?
I did forget that, so I'm going to have to linchpin off you, but... because it's been so long, you'll have to give me a break.
That's right. Almost forgot about it, but the famous, that's right, we'll say world famous start and dud of the week.
The start of the, well, I mean, I'm not sure about the dud, but I'd have a stud in mind, straight away for me.
But you go, because you're way more prepared than I am.
Well, no, it's the English connection at Canberra. It's a dual stud.
Yeah.
You couldn't. They were clearly. Oh, not so clearly, but they were two standouts.
Yeah.
From the weekend. That
what I like about them is that.
That hit that Williams put on Pappenhausen off the scrum was cool.
What I like about them is Jack Whiten didn't have to do much in that game. No. He's a brilliant player. So
and when you know, he doesn't involved, have to do much.
Yeah. It's so yeah, 100%. I agree with that stud easily.
Yeah. That's Hodgson had a 1-on-1 steal. He had a 40-20. They just like we said at the start, an ambush, and I think they were definitely a massive part of that. Canberra now they've won three on the trot in Melbourne.
So exactly.
Yeah, that's sort
yeah,
of
yeah. They've got our wood. I'll give it to them. They've got our wood at the moment, definitely.
Oh, that's three on the trot. It is what it is. It's a tough place to go in there and win at Melbourne, and you know people are they've got to get beaten eventually down there, so. I thought they were two of the higher class standouts this week. Obviously Tamalolo with his 290 odd meters was pretty crazy as well in 60 odd minutes.
Tedesco's 300 meters, Teddy was
unreal. I almost gave it to Brett Morris for that chase down, just purely on that. Gave it to him, but yeah, the English connection at the Raiders that looks the goods for the meantime, I think.
Well, I do have a dud in mind, but you can go first again. You're prepared.
Oh my god, my dud of the week, Katoni Staggs.
Really?
Oh my god.
Yeah,
and the only reason I'm watching him is because he's on my fantasy team, and he was disgraceful. He was disgraceful.
Yeah, because he had a first good couple of rounds, didn't he?
Oh, he had an amazing two first rounds. And this week he gets suspended. He had four errors, and then off the last error that he had that rotten high tackle, which gets him suspended.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was the Gutherson try. And you see him, the most dangerous person in a football side is the guy with the ball. And they showed a camera angle from the opposite try line, and Katoni Staggs is watching the guy out at centre, and he's running towards him. Clint Gutherson's got the ball, and just runs straight past him. It's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah,
I have no idea what he was looking at. Oh, it was crazy. That was brutal.
I don't know if you like it or not, but my dud is those goddamn cardboard cutouts. I don't like them. I just don't like them. I don't like them. They are ridiculous. You still have to pay $22. I'm sick of hearing $22. And obviously, and it's out of control because there's been a lot of controversial ones in there. We won't go into it too much, but no, I just don't like them. The 4X one's okay.
It's gotten a certain Fox Sports personality into a little bit of trouble.
The 4X one's okay because they sponsor Suncorp Stadium. Oh, so,
they're great.
Pretty much, so. I don't like them. Nah. They just look ridiculous. Freaks, man, I don't want to see a dog at a cutout. I don't want to see a dog. I don't want to see. There was a lot of things I didn't want to see, but.
I don't know. Bit impartial too. I didn't really care. But there's no point in making any emphasis on it. Like, there's no point going out of your way to sort of showing that they're those stupid things. They're just there. They're ordinary.
Actually, extremely late breaking news. Ben Teo just signed the Broncos for the rest of the remainder of the season.
Well, yeah, there was some rumblings going on around that he was training by himself in Brisbane with a few sort of independent trainers, and it looked like that he was going to be getting a deal done with Brisbane. So
he signed on for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
so
that's a done deal. So, wow, that's going to make their forward. Holy Jesus, their forward pack is going to be unbelievable. Oh,
well, I would say he's 30.
Payne Haas and David Fafita and Flegler and oh my god, like they're going to have one of the best packs in the league.
Yeah, I think it'll be just a cover thing. I mean, they will be, but he's 33. I mean, he could be still conditioned as well.
No, that's right. He's been playing rugby for a bit. You know, he's been out of the game for a couple of years, and obviously Alex Glenn with the little nasty little gash that he got in his leg on that Thursday night game too. Apparently you can see a little bit of bone. Yeah. Like he must have got tagged real hard. Like that's rough. And that, they had to ship off the hospital at half time. So you think he's done ski for a couple of weeks. So, Ben Teo will just slot straight in, I could only assume.
Well, that'll do it this week. I've already mentioned the pods.
Get on them social, Spotify, get on it, Gimco. Who loves a good Gimco? We love it. We're getting a few listens on there too. So, have a little shout out to the guys there. Dom's doing great work there at Gimco, and so is Mojo King. So check us out on there. So like you said, you know, all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, give us a shout out. Footy's back, so we'll be back and hopefully I'll post it up a little bit earlier this afternoon. The NBA looks like they're essentially penciled in their seasons to start on the end of July. So, we'll see how that goes. And within a couple of months, we know, or 7 weeks or so, we'll be back talking a little NBA as well.
Have a good week, everyone. Enjoy your footy. My name's Jason.
Enjoy your footy this week. Yeah.
See ya.
See ya.